thank you for helping. Let's pray. Dear Lord, open our eyes to our neighbors. Open our hearts to those in need. Give us your love and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Where would you go to encounter God? To experience marvel at God? Or to wonder at God's presence? Where would you find that place? Anybody?
Boundary Waters.
Boundary Waters. The Boundary Waters. Yeah. Your garden. Yeah. Under the stars, the breadth of the sky. I noticed one thing, and I'm guessing that most of you did not get a vision in your head of the city. Now, the pastors were putting together this series, and I guess they realized that they weren't going to be around, so they asked me to preach today. And they did that because I spent time serving a church in Brooklyn, New York, and their theme was going to be city. But I didn't want to leave it at that because the bookends of the Bible show that place of encounter with God and paradise as a garden, and that gets corrupted by human selfishness and pride. And the rest of the Bible seems to be trying to show how God is trying to put things back together and heal a broken world. And then at the end of the Bible, in Revelation, we get a different vision. A holy city. The New Jerusalem. Now there's one thing in common between that garden and the holy city. That's the presence of God. The presence of God is how we experience the holiness and paradise that God intends. As we experience peace and God's love and grace, we encounter God. And we find ourselves in a holy place. It's ironic or coincidence, or maybe it was planned. But we have people from our congregation in two places this weekend. Pastor Peter, Della Bjorn, and Lauren Duncan are at Camp Christicon in the mountains of Montana, out in the beauty of nature. In a sense, the garden. And there they are hoping to encounter God. But we have a group of youth, along with Corey and Pastor Betsy, who are in New York City on a mission trip in the city. And they too are seeking an encounter with God. The neighborhood in Brooklyn that we lived in and where the church was when we were out there, if we took a 5-short block area by 3 long blocks, was home to over 6,000 people. There was a bit of density in the population. It's said that in Minnesota, Lutherans are dense, but but in any case, in that neighborhood, we experienced the presence of Christ. I chose the contrasting visions of a garden and the city because I think they are both appropriate. And the last several years of my ministry were spent, before retirement, were spent in a town of 3,000 people. So we have the contrast of the city and a more rural area. When we would come back to visit, we had family here in Minnesota, come back from Brooklyn to visit, one of the questions we would often get is it safe? Aren't you afraid? And my response was typically, you know, there are 9 million of us out there, and we don't all go to bed terrified every night. We loved the city. We certainly could find the worst, but we could also find the best. And we could encounter God in the midst of those 9 million people. Who is my neighbor? In the city, we lived among neighbors. In New York City, over 800 languages are spoken in homes. In the state of Minnesota, it's over 100. In either case, there is some diversity. But the picture of the Holy City, the New Jerusalem, is a picture of that diversity with peace. As all the people of God from all the nations are drawn together into the presence of God, where there will be no more tears, no more crying, and we will live at peace. In Brooklyn, during the 80s, there was a growing homeless crisis. And one of the things that our congregation, along with some neighbors in St. Andrew's Roman Catholic Parish, decided to do was start serving lunch every Saturday for those who were homeless and in need. So we kind of went out on the streets and invited people and said, you know, come on, this Saturday we're going to have this lunch. And then on Saturday we got together, made a bunch of sandwiches, and got ready for people to come, and nobody showed up. So we wrapped up the sandwiches and went out to the park and went out on the streets and passed out sandwiches. Next week we had some people, and it grew to be a weekly gathering of perhaps 75 to 100 people. Now, it's interesting that the last wedding that I performed as pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Brooklyn was for Gary and Lynn. They came to me and asked if I would help them get married. And as we met and did preparation, Gary explained to me, I'm an addict. I was on drugs. I was at a low point. I had messed up my life. Lynn and I couldn't get along. And I came to a point where I needed a lunch. And I came to the church to eat lunch. And he said, when I was there, I didn't get a sermon preaching to tell me how to change my life. I didn't have prerequisites or requirements to receive a meal. I was welcomed by the people who were serving and the people who were there to serve lunch. And he said, I didn't need anybody to tell me how I had messed up my life. I didn't need anybody to judge me. But in that simple serving, an act of love, I looked at myself, and he said, my life began to turn. My life began to change. Gary met Jesus in a meal. And I met Jesus in Gary, knowing that showing love and then receiving his story and his love, I encountered Christ. A pastor friend in Brooklyn would comment that if you look at the city, every intersection is a cross. And if our eyes are open to the work of God among us and the presence of God in our midst, in the city, we can see the intersections, the cross of Christ. Let's see if I can do this. Our world is fraught with division, as is our country, and we are way too often motivated by fear, by division, by blaming and hatred. In the novel Children of God, Lars Petter Svein wrote this: "We are small and simple when we let ourselves be driven by what we fear instead of what we love. Our neighbors, far and wide, near and close, are to be loved, not feared. It can be dangerous, but it is important that in our world of division, we find ways to share the love of God." Again, in the 80s, there was a farm crisis in the rural areas. And the people of the congregation in Brooklyn thought, they told me, "We don't get this. Jesus is the good shepherd, because we don't know what a farm's like. We don't know what a shepherd's about." But they wanted to learn. And so we worked out a partnership with Elstead and Highland Prairie Lutheran Parish in rural Lanesboro, Minnesota. We invited a couple members of their congregation and the pastors to come and visit us in Brooklyn and tell us about the farm crisis and about their life. And they came out and they had a good time. And we developed a partnership of prayer, a partnership of care. The bond brought diverse congregations together. In our world of brokenness and diversity, how can bridges be built? How can the love of God be shared? How can we know the love of God in and from our neighbor? Again, the church in Brooklyn, Zion Lutheran Church. And you'll see this was kind of the main entrance, glass doors. A lot of places out there had big fences in front of their doors. This church had glass doors. There was a locked buzzer system to get people in and out. But yes, it was visible. And as you walked through those doors, Parish Ed building was over here and the sanctuary and community room over here. You would go through and this is what you'd see, a garden. And in that garden, at the end of the garden, was this: Jesus with both arms outstretched. Here, over a stream and trees, the garden, nature, the rural. Here, skyscrapers, buildings, the urban. And it was that artist's way of saying, Jesus, in fact, came to bless the world and to restore the garden with the new and holy city, Jerusalem. Indeed, as we see our neighbor, in serving our neighbor, we get glimpses of the holy city. We get glimpses of God's people together in peace and in the presence of God. And we are blessed. Amen.